Imagine being caught in a powerful rip current at Jones Beach. Your instinct screams to swim directly toward shore, but that only depletes your energy faster as the current pulls you further out to sea. Every desperate stroke makes your situation worse. This visceral experience perfectly captures how we typically respond to life's unexpected changes, fighting against them rather than adapting to new realities. In today's world, change isn't an occasional disruption, but our constant state. The pandemic merely accelerated what was already true. Uncertainty is our new normal. Our brains, wired for certainty and predictability, struggle with this reality. We experience what could be called macro pivots, major life changes, and micro pivots, small daily disruptions, simultaneously, creating a perfect storm of stress that conventional resilience strategies can't address. Consider Gertrude Ederle, who in 1926 attempted to swim the English Channel. When her coach pulled her from the water during her first attempt, assuming she was in distress, she returned a year later and became the first woman to complete the swim. When dangerous winds arose and her coach suggested quitting, she simply raised her head and asked, "What for?" This resilient mindset is what we need to become change-proof, not fighting harder against the current, but learning to work with it. When caught in life's rip currents, our first instinct is to react immediately, often making things worse. A simple three-step process can transform our relationship with change. Pause, ask, choose. The pause isn't passive resignation, but a strategic reset between stimulus and response. At Jones Beach, after losing a swimmer despite their best efforts, crew leader Bob gathered his team in a circle. They paused to honor the loss, then reinforced their commitment. No one goes down on our watch. This pause created mental space to learn rather than be consumed by failure. Instead of asking, "Why is this happening to me?" we can ask, "What can I learn?" or "How might this challenge serve me?" These questions transform us from victims to active participants in change. With space created and perspective shifted, we can make conscious choices rather than reactive ones. The lifeguard crew chose to return the next day, recommitting to their purpose. For 7 summers afterward, they never lost another swimmer, proving that facing adversity together builds extraordinary resilience. Consider 2 professionals facing identical challenges. Josh views every industry shift as a threat, existing in perpetual anxiety with his body locked in fight-or-flight mode. Emma sees the same changes as opportunities, approaching them with curiosity. Her challenge response, rather than threat response, allows her to think clearly under pressure. The difference lies not in their circumstances, but in their relationship to those circumstances. Health psychologist Kelly McGonigal found that believing stress is harmful was the 15th largest cause of death worldwide. People under high stress showed a 43% increased mortality risk, but only if they believed stress was harmful. Those who didn't view stress negatively showed no increased risk. It's not stress itself, but our relationship with it that determines outcomes. Becoming change-proof isn't about eliminating uncertainty, it's about transforming how we relate to it. Most of us follow a flawed model of resilience, pushing ourselves to exhaustion while hoping for random recovery opportunities. We constantly withdraw from our resilience reserves, relying on chance deposits, which inevitably leads to burnout. Dr. Michael Mattis offers an alternative, the resilience bank account, a framework for intentionally building resilience across physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual dimensions. The key is making deposits before withdrawals become necessary, not after depletion. Michael Jordan exemplified this principle when, at his peak after 3 consecutive championships, he stepped away from basketball for nearly 2 seasons. This strategic recovery pause enabled him to return and win 3 more championships. Building your resilience account involves regular exercise, meditation, meaningful relationships, creative pursuits, and dedicated recovery time. Progressive companies like Google, Nike, and Microsoft recognize this, offering meditation rooms, fitness facilities, sabbaticals, and flexible work arrangements, not as luxuries, but as investments in sustainable performance. Organizations like ecosystems need diversity, modularity, and adaptive management to thrive amid change. The Deepwater Horizon oil spill offers key lessons about organizational resilience. Build resilience before disruption arrives. Just as ecosystems with biodiversity are healthier, organizations need people who think differently and have varied experiences. We often hire people like ourselves, but resilience requires diversity of thought. Manage feedback loops by responding to environmental conditions rather than rigidly following metrics. People aren't data points. They're complex systems requiring nuanced leadership. Create modularity with connectivity. Organizations thrive when departments understand the whole system while maintaining distinct functions. This creates resilience through interconnection while preserving flexibility. Practice adaptive management. Leaders must be sensitive to changing conditions beyond quarterly results. We learn more from examining failures than successes, so organizations should cultivate small, creative ways to fail. Build social capital and preserve institutional knowledge. The Deepwater Horizon Committee found that community resilience must come from within. In organizations, institutional knowledge builds trust throughout the network, enabling resilience during crises. In 1974, Philippe Petit walked a steel cable between the World Trade Center towers, crossing 8 times while crowds watched from 1,350 feet below. This high wire act mirrors our precarious attempts to balance work and life, an endless performance creating chronic stress. The problem isn't our inability to achieve balance, it's pursuing the wrong goal. What we need is harmony, not balance. As Dr. Ivan Misner noted, forget about balance, you'll never have it. The true answer is harmony. Balance suggests static equilibrium, like children motionless on a seesaw. But a seesaw's joy comes from movement, not stillness. Life's richness emerges from the harmonious integration of our roles and responsibilities. I witnessed this during a rowing expedition on England's River Ouse. Our team moving in perfect synchronization, achieving a frictionless, synaptically synergistic flow that we should strive for in our lives and teams. Resilience isn't just about surviving life's rip currents, it's about thriving through them. Through pause, ask, choose, and regular deposits in our resilience bank account across physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual dimensions, we build the capacity to leverage change. Consider Rodney Flowers, who after a devastating football injury at 15 was told he'd be a vegetable for life. His mother's wisdom, "You don't have your legs, but you still have your mind," taught him that quality of life comes from within. By asking "so what?" to challenge limiting beliefs about his paralysis, Rodney proved physical limitations don't dictate one's future. In a world of constant change, the most valuable skill isn't predicting the future, but building the resilience to thrive in whatever future arrives. Will you fight the current or learn to work with it toward new shores of possibility? The choice and legacy is yours.